We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Hello, greetings, welcome, salutations, and hump day alohas. It is our 9/11 Remembrance Day, and it is Wednesday at 4, which is when we usually are joined by my pal Dave Schwartz. He is the top dog, the big cheese, the big kahuna at Freedom Action Network of South Carolina in this segment, which is sponsored by them, by the way, where we typically get together and review what the good old boys are up to down in Columbia. Dave, welcome. Great to have you along, as always. Great to be back with you as I return from vacating at the beach.
Hey, Bobby Mack, happy Wednesday. And by the way, congratulations on your hole-in-one.
Thank you.
That is a rare feat.
Yeah, I had forgotten. In fact, that I had sent a picture from today's golfing excursion at the preserve at Verde to Miss Moneypenny, and she posted it on our Facebook page. Yeah, just goes to show you that occasionally it helps to be lucky rather than good.
Hey, the blind squirrel gets the nut every now and again.
It does, right? Every so often. That's right. Well, we get enough bad breaks on the golf course. We ought to get a good one now, right, and again. And after all, my last one was so recently in September of 1980. So every 39 years, Dave, I can be counted on to knock one in the hole on a par three.
You know, that's really that's not bad. That's not bad odds.
It's a little less consistent than I would like, but I'll take what I can get.
That's right. That's right. Well, look, I mean, you know, it's 9/11, and you know, I'm glad y'all are doing this, you know, remembrance today, and I think we were talking about it earlier. I was at a fire station earlier today down here in Mount Pleasant, talking to some of the firefighters, and it's just one of those days, Bob, that I'll never forget. I mean, I was, I guess I was about 18 years old. I was in college, and I'll never forget it. I mean, I was in college, and I was sleeping, and my dad called me on the phone, and he said, you know, this was about 9 o'clock,
right
after the first plane struck the building, and the first plane struck the first building. I think it was the North Tower, and then he said, you better turn on your TV. Something is going on here. And watching that day play out, and especially the next 2 hours, was really surreal.
Yeah,
it was
just
unbelievable.
It was. I remember walking out of the radio station where I'd done the morning show in Memphis and going to my car and thinking to myself, you know, this must be in some ways similar to what people felt the 7th of December, 1941, that the world as they knew it had changed forever.
It really did. And it changed all of us that watched it, you know, and again, like I said, it's 18 years now. I mean, there's going to be kids that graduate high school that weren't even born when it happened. But as a 37-year-old man, I remember it minute by minute almost.
Yeah, it's interesting because one of the local TV stations did a piece last night with some youngsters in high school in Spartanburg, I believe it was, and they were talking with them about 9/11 for them because, of course, in some instances, they had not even been born yet. And in talking with these young people, it gave me a new perspective on how they view the world that they have found, yeah, because they have never known an airport without TSA. They have never known many of the things that we have become acclimated to since then that happened as a result of 9/11, which, of course, occurred even before they joined us on the planet.
No, that's exactly right. And just something that, again, I think even though it happened in locations that you know, obviously not here in South Carolina, but I mean in New York City, in Pennsylvania, in Washington.
Yep.
The whole, I mean, everybody just, it was like a personal experience.
Yeah.
You didn't need to, and I mean, not to be crass, you didn't need to know somebody that was in the World Trade Center to just have an unbelievable emotional experience. And I think, and I would imagine, and of course I wasn't around, I'd imagine that is the way folks felt about Pearl Harbor, is that, you know, the day that will forever live in infamy. But this is, you know, our generation's Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, it was. No, you're right. It was an attack on all of us. And the World Trade Center, I think, was deliberately selected. I mean, they attacked it twice. First, the blind sheik with a car bomb in the garage underneath, and that failed to bring the Twin Towers down. And then later, of course, we saw what happened in 2001. But the World Trade Center Twin Towers were a symbol to the world of capitalism, and that's something that the Islamic jihadists hated and wanted to bring down.
And to this day, it's under attack. And it's always awkward to turn from this, but it is the one thing I would say. Number one is you know, thanking the first responders, right? The 400 plus that lost their lives that day, doing what they do every day. And that's, you know, something to behold. It's something amazing. It's something to be cherished.
It's amazing to stop and think about, because how many of us in our own families, you know, when dad or when the husband or mom, for that matter, leave the house in the morning, they may not come home that night.
That's right. That's exactly right.
That's
exactly right.
That really brings it home.
It does. But in 2001, there was also something else going on, and you know, not to make it more awkward than it probably already is, but there was something else going on, and we were naming roads after future felons, Bob.
Yeah,
in the state
that's
of
right.
South Carolina.
You bet. Yeah, you know, we had to change one here in the upstate.
That's right. John Hardy, and we're staying on top of this. We are not going to let this go. And
good.
I know many, many of your listeners are following Glee on this and continuing to take action and continuing to hold their politicians accountable for this. But we're going to continue this following this. We're going to continue making sure folks know what in the world's going on and what the next steps are. And Bob, one step is presented to us here in the next few days. Next week, the South Carolina Department of Transportation meets. They have the commission holds their monthly meeting, and it's a chance for us to again take action and again hold these folks accountable. So John Hardy, Corrupt Hugh Leatherman's son-in-law, has two roads named after him in this state.
Right.
The expressway down the John N. Hardy Expressway in Columbia, South Carolina. It's the road that connects I-26 to the Columbia Airport.
Yep.
And then there's another stretch of highway US 701 just south of Loras in the PD that's also named after him.
Because it wasn't enough just to name one highway after him. We got to name two.
It wasn't enough. And so they're going to meet next week, and they have the opportunity, Bob, to rip those signs down and rename those roads. And that's what should happen. But we need to take it a step further, I believe.
Right.
And we need to demand from these politicians, our state politicians, our state representatives, our state senators, and the governor, they need to finally pass a law banning naming politicians after naming roads after these stinking politicians.
Amen. I have been preaching and railing against this for a decade.
It is unbelievable. And look, you don't have to travel very far. You know, in Greenville, down here in Charleston, everywhere in between.
Yep.
Most of these roads and bridges are named after some politician or bureaucrat. It's a disgusting form of elitism. It's you know, a lot of folks would say, well, it's only a road name. I mean, who cares? Well, number one, Corrupt Hugh Leatherman's son-in-law John Hardy is a federal felon.
Right.
Okay. And hopefully he'll be a state felon by the time we're done with him. But he's a federal felon. He's a convicted felon, right? He took a cash bribe. His name needs to come down off of these highways. Okay. It's a disgrace. It's an embarrassment. and it needs to end. Okay, that name, the sign needs to be ripped down immediately. And the DOT commission can do that next week, and we need to pressure our legislators to demand that of the people they appointed on that commission. And we know, Bob, the legislature and the governor appoint the DOT commission. They
right.
control SCDOT. And so they need to take that sign down. They need to change the law. They need to ban the naming thing. And it's, yes, there is a symbolism to it. It's John Hardy, the symbol of his name coming down off of these roads and relieving us of this humiliation and embarrassment is number one. But number two, and I think most importantly, the reason his name and the reason they need to rip these signs down and the reason they need to just ban this ridiculous notion of naming roads after politicians, John Hardy presided over the last 25 years over the destruction of our road system. And we've talked about these roads in the past, whether it's Walnut Grove Road Bridge up, you know, in southern Spartanburg of
right.
Woodruff,
right.
Whether it's, you know, Woodruff Road in Greenville. I mean, you think about all the crumbling roads, the bridge over SC-20 over near Piedmont.
Mm-hmm.
You think about all of those roads and bridges. You can think of John Hardy. This is the guy that took over $100 million and funneled away from roads that should have been fixed, roads repairs that should have happened, and put it to this expressway with his name on. And that's exactly the symbolism that John Hardy should elicit in everybody's mind. Whenever they hear the name John Hardy, they should think of crumbling roads and bridges. This guy was on the commission for 20 years. He was the son-in-law of the most powerful politician in the state. By the way, a politician that makes money on DOT contracts as,
right.
as the owner of a concrete company.
Yep.
But this is the guy. This is why his name should be ripped off those signs, and they should come tumbling down, and we should never allow another politician's name on another road ever again. And it's because of guys like John Hardy. This guy is a criminal. He's a scumbag, and his name should come off those roads. His name should come down from those signs, and we need to demand accountability. And you can do it simply, Bob, by texting the word RIP, as in rip the signs down, R-I-P, to the number 52886 on your cell phone, RIP to the number 52886 on your cell phone. Let's demand action from our state politicians, our state reps, our state senators, the governor. Let's hold them accountable. Let's force them to make their appointees on DOT tear down the sign, and let's make them finally pass a law banning naming roads after politicians.
Yeah, I have a suggestion, and we have an extended segment today too, Dave. So we're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, I will give you my take on what I think we should do on these
Great.
Naming of highways, and we'll do that coming up next. 18 after 4 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Be right back here on WORD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And doing an extended segment today, because we missed last Wednesday, of course, when I was on vacation. I would have been at the beach, but of course, Governor Henry McTaxter, being overly conservative, closed down the beaches, had mandatory evacuations on Monday while the storm was still down pounding the Bahamas. Look, I get it. I know if you're going to make a mistake, you're going to make it on the side of caution. But give me a break, because once he announced the mandatory evacuation, everybody, all the businesses along the beach had to close down. But I digress. We were talking about this policy that they have with the legislator of ego gratification by naming all of these roads and bridges after politicians. We have seen time and again how this comes to ill. Here in the upstate, we had a highway named after a well-known politician that had to be changed.
Yeah.
Now we got Mr. Hardy, Now a resident of the Gray Bar Hotel down there in Richland County, as he awaits state charges and is already in jail for having violated his probation. The guy was lucky that he got off in the first place with a slap on the wrist by being sent home on house arrest. And then the very next day was out trying to line up some entertainment, as it were, some female entertainment. Yeah. And he got arrested as a result of that. And the judge said, hey, you're going back to the Gray Bar Hotel, pal, because obviously you can't follow the law. We have so many instances of these highways and bridges that purely for the purpose of, as I mentioned, ego gratification, they name after each other. What's wrong with naming all of these highways? And some are after fallen LEOs, fallen members of the military, those who have made the ultimate sacrifice in defense of the freedoms and liberties of this country. Why don't we name all these roads and bridges and highways after these people who have actually done something rather than these politicians? Many of them, all they've done is line their own pockets.
And as they should, Bob, right? I mean, veterans, police officers, firefighters, first responders, citizens in the community that are well-known volunteers that have made, you know, these towns and cities better places to live.
You bet.
Fine.
Yeah.
Let's name those roads. That's what they should be named after. But politicians who do nothing more than, take our money, spend it erroneously, spend it terribly, waste it, in some cases, embezzle it and launder it for their own benefit. Bob, it has to end. And we have to take a stand. Now, every so often, about every 2 or 3 years, somebody introduces a bill that does just that, that would ban naming roads after politicians. And it goes nowhere.
Yeah, it dies in committee.
So, you know, this time we've got to stand up. We've got to demand that this takes place. We've got to demand that this bill gets a hearing, gets passed, gets signed into law. Let's end this practice. But going back to, you know, John Hardy, I mean, here's a guy, he took a cash bribe while he served on the DOT commission. The man presided, he served on the commission for 20 years.
Yep.
Okay, he got put there by his father-in-law.
In two different terms. Yeah.
In two different terms. The guy presided in those 20 years, Bob. That was the 20 years. Our road system has literally crumbled. It has fallen apart. It is in the shape that it's in right now because of John Hardy and his father-in-law, Corrupt Hugh Leatherman. We have got to take a stand. We have got to make sure that these politicians know we're in charge. We're not going to take this anymore. And it's symbolic, yes, but a very important symbol that we let them know you're not going to do this anymore. Narcissism, ego, whatever you want to call it, it needs to end. We need to pass a law that bans naming roads after politicians. And by the way, Bob, we need to do it right now because the DOT commission is going to meet next Thursday, a week from tomorrow. And they could decide at that meeting to take the signs that display John Hardy's name, the criminal John Hardy. They could take them down immediately. And that's what needs to happen. They need to rip those signs down. And your listeners can take action that you can do exactly that. They can send a direct message to their state politicians demanding that they rip John Hardy's signs down with the two roads that are named after him, and that they pass a law banning all roads being named after politicians. They can do that. Just text the word RIP, R-I-P, to the number 52886 on their cell phone, RIP to 52886 on your cell phone. That'll send a direct message to their politicians demanding those two things get done immediately.
Some people on the text line chiming in on this. Here's a terrific suggestion. Bob, maybe we should name the road to the prison after Mr. Hardy rather than the one to the airport.
I got some great suggestions. Some folks said, why don't they name it Hooker Highway?
Oh, geez.
That we always remember that John Hardy, it used to be called the John Hardy Expressway.
Right.
I mean, look, these are great. Look, the bottom line is the name needs to come off the road. It's an embarrassment. You know, the citizens of South Carolina deserve better than this. And again, it's a symbolism. This guy is a piece of trash. He's a scumbag. He's a criminal. And by the way, he might be a double criminal because, you know, hopefully we get Alan Wilson to start pressing charges against him and go after him on state charges. But the bottom line is his name should not be on any road.
Yeah, no kidding.
He is a disgrace. And we need to rip those signs down. Those roads need to be renamed. And I would suggest renaming them after, as you suggested, a law enforcement officer, a fallen veteran, something like that. That would be honor
yep.
to the citizens of South Carolina, taxpayers of South Carolina.
Yeah, but if somebody name them after somebody who has actually done something for this state.
Exactly.
Rather than lining their own pockets.
If you want to do that right now, send that message to your politicians. Demand action on that. Text the word RIP to the number 52886 on your cell phone. RIP to 52886.
We'll see what happens. Thanks, Dave. Always a pleasure to have you here. And we'll see you again next Wednesday.
Talk to you next week, Bob. Thanks.
You bet. And you can keep up with what Fan of SC is doing. They will send you daily alerts as to what they're looking into and investigating. They're on Facebook, Fan of SC, facebook.com/Fan of SC. 4:30, we go back to the phones on the other side here on the Bobby Mack Show on Wednesday.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Now, 23 before 5. I have to apologize because I had forgotten that having been gone last Wednesday on vacation, our regular segment with Dave Schwartz from Fan of FC was missed. And so we doubled up today. And as a result, callers ended up hanging on forever. I commend you for your patience. And I will get to you beginning now with Mark, who is in Taylor's. Thank you for patiently waiting, Mark. Good to have you here.
Good afternoon, Dean McLean. It's your adjunct professor of logic back here.
Yes, sir. And well, class is in session.
I remember today I had two friends who were classmates of mine who perished in the towers.
Oh, man.
One of them was Darrell V. Pearsall. He was a firefighter for Rescue 4 on FDNY. And another was Jay Magazine, who was a chef at the Windows on the World. Mm. He was a catering director, and they went down with the tower. But we always try to remember them and put it in perspective to those that they left behind. But, you know, the things that are there that people are, well, let's say that one congressperson
mm-hmm.
is harping on is that, look, it wasn't Baptists. It wasn't Catholics. It wasn't Buddhists.
Right.
It wasn't Jews.
Nope. Wasn't Hindus.
No. It was one particular religion, and in that religion, there were some crazy stinking people that perpetrated this crime on humanity. We need to remember that we better never forget that we can never, never allow a super race or a super religion or a super ideal force itself on a free world.
And sadly, now we have many in positions of power who are enabling exactly that.
That is correct. They are. And they need to hear it from us. They need to hear it every September 11th. They need to hear it every day of the year. Because the tendency is, I think people almost remember Pearl Harbor, and that was duly evil in itself. But they recognized at that time that someone was responsible.
You bet.
And they prosecuted the war according to that, according to those facts. And we need to remember that there are people out there. It's the real hate isn't in Republicans or Democrats or blacks or whites or anybody. The real hatred is in that group of people that wants to exterminate us because they don't like us.
And, you know, we mentioned
and
earlier,
they don't like what we stand for.
Absolutely. They hate it, in fact, and want to destroy it and replace it with Islam all over the world. We were talking earlier about high school kids that were born before September 11th. Now, many 18-year-olds are going to be voting this time around and weren't even alive during 9/11. That's why it's imperative that they always remember, that we remind them of what happened and why it happened and who perpetrated this evil.
And the deniers, they just have they have no place to stand.
Yeah.
Facts are facts, truth is truth, and logic is logic. If I smash my thumb with a hammer, I guess I'm going to be careful next time not to leave my thumb in the place where the hammer is.
Those inanimate objects will get out of control. The New York Times reminded us of that today with those planes that attacked the towers.
I'd like to propose an experiment. Let's take an AR-15.
Right.
Let's load it, chamber around, put the safety on, and set it on a table.
Right.
And we'll have a 24/7 camera on that to see if anything happens. And I guarantee you in 100 years, nothing will happen except the stinking thing will get rusty.
Well, they don't call them assault weapons for nothing, Mark.
Well, if they have the salt, don't they need the pepper?
Thanks for the call, Mark. And thanks for your patience and hanging on. Wow.
And the Olin got the aluminum track for the windows contract.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you can hold it onto the building is to shoot fasteners into the concrete.
Because of the wind at that height? Is that what did that?
Yeah. Yeah, they would shoot the aluminum tracks into the concrete covering, which the building was built, designed by Japanese people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a steel structure covered with concrete.
Right.
And what happened was, when we got to the meetings we had to have every so often, we found out that, this is probably information you probably heard before, Lloyd's of London was doing the insurance on the buildings while they're being constructed, and they estimated 11 people would be killed in the construction, but only 4 did.
Wow.
Yeah, the both buildings. And what happened was that the Japanese architect said, because 747 started flying about that time, that it could take a fully loaded 747, that's 550,000 pounds, at 500 miles an hour, and that building would stay erect.
Wow. But I guess what they didn't factor into the equation was all that aviation fuel in there that burns it.
That's
very
exactly what I was saying. I flew too, and that's a weird thing. I used to fly from Meriden, Connecticut, down to South Jersey.
Yeah.
That's a no-fly zone.
That's right.
So you couldn't go over New York City. So I knew that it was a terrorist attack from the beginning, because nobody in their right mind would fly over the city. And you have to fly around New York City.
Correct.
And when I saw the fuel burning, I said, if it was an emergency, the plane would have dumped fuel over the Long Island Sound.
Yep.
So there was a couple things. As I watched it, I was in the doctor's office in Lawrence. But I said, that's a terrorist attack. And when I saw the second plane hit 20 minutes later, then I was sure of it.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, it was certainly a tragic, and I know it must have been meaningful for you, Ray, having been involved in the construction. 4:45 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Take a quick break here. I'll catch up with the text line as well when we come right back here on the Bobby Mack Show, 9/11 edition, here on WORD. Welcome back. Great to have you along. It's 5:10, hour number 2, the Bobby Mack Show here on 9/11's anniversary. Hard to believe it's been 18 years. In on my text line, 71307. Bobby, I believe your previous caller misspoke. The World Trade Center towers were designed for a crash of a 707, not a 747, as the design was completed before 747s were even flying. Bobby, it's not radical Islam that promotes violence. It is Orthodox Islam that does. I guess you're talking about the Wahhabis. The type of Islam that does not prescribe violence is akin to the kind of Christianity that says Christ is not the only way. Bobby, obviously, we need to ban planes. No, wait a minute. AOC and the other Dems want to do that. Bobby, we have a road named after a fallen brother who was 20 years old when he gave his life defending our country. And libtards are still complaining about it. From Gerald in Calpis. Well, they've got to have something to complain about. They're always complaining about something. Bobby, there's a story today on The Blaze about how the Chinese protesters, you know, the protests that are going on, the pro-democracy protests in Hong Kong, about how the Chinese protesters ceased their protests today in honor of the victims of 9/11. Too bad we can't exchange those people for the America-hating malcontents that we have here. From Gary. Bobby, I have a 24-year-old granddaughter who's a smart young woman with a degree from Purdue University. She and her politically naive friends celebrated when the four women, now known as the Squad, were elected. Not a clue what they stood for, just happy women were elected, voting gender, not policy. Pathetic. A texter said, anything named after Wade Hampton perpetuates his dark legacy. And I texted back, you're coming to the wrong place to sell that stuff. Jim, Free Radical, sent me a text, don't name anything after anybody until they're dead. And maybe not even then. Bob, here's a suggestion. Name the prisons and jails after the politicians. I mean, why not? They're stealing from us with every new tax and tax increase. Bobby, when you're talking to Dave Schwartz next time, ask him why the FBI doesn't come out to these knuckleheads and go after them with a RICO investigation. Bobby, you mentioned the gubernator chasing you off the beach last week, Governor Henry Premature Evacuator McMaster. I like it. Premature Evacuator. Maybe we should, oh yeah, this one I mentioned to Dave. Maybe we should name the road to the prison after Mr. Hardy. I like that. Bobby, in honor of the victims of 9/11, comments by Hugh L., Florence, South Carolina, will not be sent today. That man is what is wrong with America. I will not dishonor the victims of 9/11 by featuring that snake, even in parody. Thank you, and we appreciate that. Bobby, taking down historical monuments makes sense, according to the left, but putting up signs on our roads named after criminals is somehow acceptable? Mark me down as hashtag confused. And this one, I wish you wouldn't hold back, Dave. Tell us what you really think of Mr. Hardy. And I was unaware of this. This is curious. Bobby, please pass along to Dave that Carolina Film Alliance is lobbying Columbia for tax breaks for filmmakers. Hollywood has plenty of money. Let them hate us at full price. Yeah, talking about, you know, they've been abandoning some of the filming locations in Georgia over their heartbeat bill down there. And Bobby, didn't we have a law to not name anything after a living person, after the guy in Easley that swindled all those people with Carolina Gold? It was discussed for a while, but most of these things end up dying in committee. Bobby, 18 years ago today, I was working in a large manufacturing plant outside Sumter, South Carolina. I had 400 people working that day. Many of my employees were connected to Shaw Air Force Base. I shut down all operations, gathered my folks, and told them what I knew at the time. I told them, this is our Pearl Harbor. Yep. Most everyone in the room were baby boomers and immediately understood. Sadly, the world has never been the same, and there will never be a VT, Victory Over Terrorism, Day. Bobby, I'm with Dave. Take those signs named after Hardy and other politicians. Name the roads after veterans and first responders who paid the ultimate price. Bobby, on 9-8-11, I married a career firefighter. In the days following 9-11, I can only remember the sheer terror knowing that something like this was possible. I was only worried about the typical job hazards. That day instilled a new kind of fear. I gotcha. About the ace today, I got a hole-in-one on a par 3 20 years ago. We had a friendly bet between the four of us that everyone had to give the person $100 if they got one. Mine hit off a tree and bounced into the hole. I never played again. Hey, if you're going to quit, quit while you're ahead. Hour number two of the Bobby Mack Show has zipped on past. Stand by. Third hour, the 5 o'clock follies follows next over most of this same station.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.